Ann has a message for this morning. I got a microphone over here. Oh, you hooked yourself up?
I did.
You did?
I think, right. I'm on.
Wow,
right?
You're getting good.
Good, thanks.
Come on. Praise God. Is it on?
If you
Davey, you're back.
Yeah.
Would you sneak in? I didn't know you were back already. Praise God. Good to have you here. Back. We missed you. We missed you. Praise God.
Would you stand with me, please, and open your Bible or device to Philippians? I mean, that worship, wow. This is chapter 2, so it's Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5 through 8. Okay? Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And you know what, Debbie? I'm just going to ask you to pray over the word as I get started. We're good here.
Okay. So, Father, we come before you, Lord God. We thank you for this word. We thank you for the scripture, Lord. And we just ask, oh God, that the anointing be on Diane, Pastor Diane, as she brings it forth and expounds on it. And that you would open up the eyes of our understanding, Lord God. And that we would get it into our spirits, Father God. All that you want us to know and learn and to even teach others, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Okay, you can be seated. Okay. You know, I have an old-fashioned type sermon, and I'm usually, you know, contemporary, I'm usually not, I get fired up, and it's usually what's happening today, but this is kind of, I'm going to be talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, and then we're going to have communion. You know, the world is changing so rapidly today, I can't stand it. I mean, I really can't stand it. We have been chosen to be here in this world at this time. But it is so, so hard. And when we think of the children and, you know, the elite or whatever we want to call them, the leadership of this country and really all around the world is trying to change us and change the laws, right? And the mindsets, right? Of people, creating new belief systems. The world is changing, and we don't like it. We are the church, and we don't like it. Indoctrinating, trying to teach people to accept a set of beliefs. You know, good is evil, and evil is good. These are the days we're living in. And that scripture is about the mind of Christ and having that mind of Christ. And Jesus was just so dedicated and so strong and, you know, always so connected with his Father that he was able to accomplish, to fulfill, to complete everything that he was sent to do. And I feel like now God will make us able because each one of us, we have to be a voice, right? We have to be filled with love, even for the people that we feel are danger to us. We have to pray with love. We've got to learn again how to plead the blood of Jesus. You know, like I said, the world is changing. It is changing so quickly. And I feel bad for the little babes that are being born into this world. My heart, you know. But you know what? We are the church. We're the children of God. And we shouldn't really be in the world or the worldly system. We're in the kingdom. We're kingdom people. And people have to know. They have to know that we are different. And we are living in the kingdom of God. And so let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's a renewing process of the mind. God is doing that. The Spirit of God is renewing our minds. And I just thank God so much for the Spirit, for the Holy Spirit. We have him. He is our support system. He is our strength. He is our direction. He is the voice of God. Amen? He's the power. He's the demonstration of power. So we're not just human beings thrown into this situation that is so horrible. We have power. We have the anointing to break yokes. And we have to remember who we are and still be humble. Like Jesus, I just read here in Philippians, even though who being formed, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Pretty serious message, right? But truth, and it sets us free. So Romans 12:2 says to be renewed, right? It speaks of the renewing of the mind. And they're trying to get into our minds, people. And they're trying to change our thinking, our process, our belief system. That's what it is. But to have that mind of Christ, if our minds are not well established, then we're going to lose sight. We're going to lose sight of our calling, and we're going to lose sight of what is promised to us and our rewards. Who knew it would get this bad, the world? Who knew? And this is just the beginning. So absurd. What they're trying to do is so demonstrative. It's in the air. It's change. You know, Satan is the prince of the air. In Ephesians 2:12, it says this, that Satan is the prince of the air. And all around us, you know, you can breathe in all of the lies and everything that's going on. But we're fighting against the purposes of God right now and asking God to give us such vision we could see truth through all of this nonsense. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is our peace offering, offering himself up to the obedience of the cross. But he is our peace. Amen? He's the Prince of Peace. And we have to search for peace. If we're starting to get unraveled, we've got to get into that place and just allow the Prince of Peace to minister to us and get into the Word and keep that peace within us. You know, this is like Satan's last try. It's like his last days. So he's going to run around rampant and trying to devour all that he can in this time. But you know something? It's also the last days, and it's also the last days for us. Amen? And we have a mighty work to do. We really, really have a mighty work to do. And we don't do it alone. We do it with the Spirit of the living God. So Satan is running out of time. And, you know, I see that even churches today are changing. Some of them are changing. And it's a disgrace. We are to be holy. We're to represent the Holy One. You know, one of our missionary friends, Bernie Gillott. I brought this up one time a while ago. He was invited to speak at Bethel Church in California, How many of you have heard of Bethel Church in California? Okay. And he came here after that, and he spoke here. A wonderful brother. I love him so much. And he said to me, you know, at Bethel, they spoke to me before they released me to speak. And they said, do not mention hell, do not mention the blood, and do not mention sin. I don't feel the same about them anymore. Amen. And they need prayer. Amen. The Bible speaks of hell. The Bible speaks of sin. The Bible speaks of the blood. And we can't speak of the blood. We can't speak of sin or hell. And there were kinds of miracles taking place there, signs and wonders taking place. Do you know that Satan can do miracles? Seemingly, anyway. Lying wonders and sorcery. Counterfeit miracles. Remember in Exodus 7, when Moses told Aaron to throw his rod down on the ground and it turned into a serpent, and the sorcerers and the magicians and the wise men, they had their rods and they threw their rods down and it turned into serpents. But what happened? What happened? Aaron's serpent swallowed up the rest of the serpents. Amen? And we have to learn how to balance everything and never, ever, ever forget that God is greater. God is still in control. And we still have power. Power. His resurrection power. And the power of the blood is on us. Never forget. So many changes. I can't stand, you know, what they're trying to do to our babes. I can't stand. We cry out. We have to cry out. You know, I was reading that Target, who are targeting our children, and Kohl's, the department store, they have infant outfits for 3 months. Old with LGBTQ on it, rainbows, pride. If you go, you want to pick out a card for somebody, this is what you're going to say. We're so glad you're queer. I'm speaking truth, and I'm not afraid to speak truth. Or, oh, we celebrate your coming out. God does not change. We are not to change. We are to take a solid stand and be who God has called us to be and stand up for what is right. Amen. The blood, like I said, an old-fashioned message. The life is in the blood, the Bible tells us. Jesus is abundant life. You know what? I think I'm going to turn to this scripture. I just have a lot of things written down, and I'm just trying to sift through it. But Hebrews chapter 10. And verses, 36 to 39. Right away. It says, for you have need of endurance, people, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So our mentality is, I'm going to go for the Lord. I'm going to do what he calls me to do from now until I take my last breath or I'm raptured. And it's you have to make up your mind now before things get really, 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 really bad. Now you have to make a decision. Now is the time. So that when these things get worse, we've already, in our own hearts and minds and imaginations, have taken that stand. Proverbs says in, I'm not going to turn there, but chapter 4, verses 25 to 26. It says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. So let your eyes look through all the fog, through all the dirt, the filth. Look through, look through, look through. Cast your eyes upon the Lord. He is our example. And just keep going forth. Keep marching on. I'm going to read some scripture. Revelation 5, verse 9. The blood of Jesus has the power to release the grip of the great curse. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. That's a pretty good scripture. The blood of Jesus has the power to release the grip of the great curse. Ephesians 1, 7. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his glory. That is so beautiful. I feel like writing that on my wall. That in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his glory, of his grace, the riches of his grace. John chapter 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That's serious. That means, let me come in. You know, drink me in. Eat every word. By believing everything about Jesus, every part of him, and the cup of suffering, but united with him, and say, Jesus, I'm going to walk your walk. Amen? Remember, God wanted his first son to walk with him in the cool of the evening. To me, that means so much, and I've preached on it. But to walk with Jesus Christ, to walk with his heart, to gain his mindset, transformation is everything. Become his flesh and become his, because, and become his flesh and blood. We're becoming more and more like Christ, like every day. And I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that more and more every day. To believe the sacrifice of his flesh and be willing to become like him, all the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, listen. I just feel that going back to the Spirit of the living God, he is so good. He would never give us more than we could handle. And he is our power. He is our guide. He is our best friend. Amen. He is the voice of God. He is our guide, and it's going to be all about in the being in the Spirit, having connection with the Holy Spirit, hearing the voice of the Spirit of God, and praying for all these things. We are not ordinary people. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Oh, my God. If we're walking in the light, his mindset lights up the world. If we're walking in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Oh my God. Oh my God. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Cleanses us from all sin. Such hope, right? The blood never loses its power. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved their lives unto death. They did not love their lives unto death. And this is the end time people is being spoken of here. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word. There's abundant life in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the word is living, a two-edged sword. Amen. And their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. You see, these people spoken of, these end time people spoken of in the word, they're going to give it all. You know? What we have or we don't have, what we do or we decide not to do, all of these things are going to fade away. Because we're going to have to be the church. And we're going to have to feed a generation of young people that are going to be spirit-filled, that need grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads. Get ready. Get ready. I think we have to have the mindset of the willingness to give it all, lay it all down. It's pretty serious, right? Pretty heavy, right? But isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to live a life with the desire, true desire, to please him? I want to see miracles more. I want to see an increase. You know, the dead to be raised. I believe that God wants to show the world who he is before Jesus comes back, to give them that last and final taste of the Lord, drink of the Lord, love of God, love of God, miracle working power in the end times, so that they can make that decision, which way are you going to go? God will give them that. God will make himself real to people. I believe that. And he may make himself real to people through us. So we have to get ready. Be ready. The blood sets the believer free from the power of sin and washes us holy and enables us to grow in Christ's likeness by the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, when we're covered with the blood, when we're so close to the Lord, we're spending time with the Lord more and more. When we're in the word, and I don't want it to be a works, salvation by works. No, no. The real thing is when we desire these things more. When we're, our hearts are pounding for more of that presence, to more of the word. More to be like in the likeness of Christ, and your hearts begin to burn for this, then you're in the right place. It's not about works. I'm not trying to be religious. It's the desire in your heart. It's the fire in your soul for the Lord. And you know what? When God the Father, this is from me, sees a person like that, he pours out on them. I believe that. He pours out on them, and that's what we need. The pouring out for the last days. God sees the blood. We're covered with the blood, right? And when he looks at us, he doesn't see this little frail thing that's getting old. He sees the blood of his son. So he's seeing abundant life inside of me, inside of you. That's what he's seeing. And when he sees the blood over us, can you imagine the Father's heart like skipping? Because that was the purpose. I'll send my son, and he will die that cruel, horrible death on that cross. But there's going to be a people that's going to come after my heart, and I'm going to have a lot of sons and daughters on the earth. The blood is the covering that allows us to enter into the presence of a perfect and holy God. You know, the priests couldn't enter the holy place until they got themselves all ready, you know, the robe and everything that they had to do to go into that place. We are dressed with the covering of the blood, a blood covenant and a blood covering over us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. The blood of Christ cleanses our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. There is love in the blood of Jesus. When Jesus poured out, his blood was poured out on the cross. Every drop came out of him. And the life is in the blood. And the love for his Father and the love for his Father's children was in that blood that was poured out. A love covenant, a love covering. I am covered by the blood of Jesus. You are covered by the blood. If you're serving God, it's the blood that keeps us out of hell. Be assured that there is no sin you have committed and repented that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. Nothing. 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 That the blood of Jesus cannot go in there and cover it and wash us clean. What has washed away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. You know, in Genesis, it says that there was a murder, right? Abel was murdered by his brother. And the word says that Abel's blood cried out to God. The life is in the blood. Can you imagine that? That blood that sunk into the earth was crying out to God. Life is in the blood. And the injustice, you know, that life in that blood was crying out to God for the injustice. So the blood is justification. The blood is reconciliation. The blood is redemption for us. We have been redeemed. We have been purchased by the blood. It was very costly. It was Jesus' blood. Now we belong to him. Christ's blood washes over our sins. The sin was not just covered, but with repentance, it has been removed. When we ask for forgiveness, the blood is poured out over us. We're the believers and the followers of Christ. When we repent, we're just washed clean. Precious, costly, valuable, all for us, and it is free. He paid the price with his blood. He paid the price with his life. When the enemy comes to bring up your confessed and repented sins, you should confront him with the blood. Victory over the devil, overcoming positions over the enemy because of the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter by the blood of Jesus, access, permission, liberty to approach by the blood. The access is eternal because the blood never loses its power. So I think that for myself, I need to be sharpened because I don't sometimes think about when I'm praying for something, I'm not thinking about praying through the blood, pleading the blood, you know, like all my children, my grandchildren, pleading the blood, getting in there on your face, on your knees, whatever, and crying out and pleading the blood over them. Grandparents and parents are powerful. Christian grandparents and parents are powerful, 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 so powerful. I remember the story, true story, of a man, a young man, he left home and he got into drugs and his mother was on her knees, you know, and she was crying out, crying out, and crying out, and crying out. She was fasting, she was just going crazy for him. And one day, he was walking New York City, and all of a sudden, it was like something hit him. And he said, what am I doing? Why am I living like this? Who am I? It was a transformation. He started weeping and weeping, and he called up his mother, got filled with the Spirit. That mother, at that time especially, was on her face crying out to God. Praise God. The power that we have. If you're a parent, I'm talking about that parental position of power. Power. We have to wake up and really know it and get excited about it. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath the blood lose all their guilty stains. It reaches the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives us strength from day to day never loses its power. I'm going to read some scriptures, and if you want to read with me in Revelation, and we'll have communion. Revelation chapter 12. I'm looking all over the place. Thank you, Lord. Okay, thank you, Lord. Let's read verse 9. Now, this is speaking of the end times. 9 to 11. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Remember, we're not living in the world. We're in the kingdom. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out of him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not lose their lives to death. How powerful that is. These are the last days. And there's going to be a lot of evil working and a lot of evil power. But we can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. The great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard, this is terrible times. The demonic is just going to be here on the earth. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who has accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down, and they overcame him by the word of their testimony, and they did not live their lives to death. Now, I am saying we are walking at a time where we can apply this now. I believe we can apply the enemy. We can come against him because we are blood washed. We are filled with the Spirit of the living God. And it is time to have the mindset of an overcomer. The accuser was overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You know, I would tell you to do your own study about the blood. Get it ingrained inside of you. There's so much more. Do it. Read. Take it in. Pray. So that you will be filled with the power. You have been called for this hour. Remember that. We can't just overlook that. I always say it. We could have lived and died 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 100 years ago. We are here now. While the world is rapidly changing right before us, and the enemy is targeting our children, we've got to arise. We've got to know who we are. And if we're sleeping, we've got to wake up. By the way, we have prayer Tuesday night at 7:30 to 8:30, this coming Tuesday night. Please come. Please, let's join our forces together and our faith together and cry out to God together. We're going to have communion. If you want to come up and let's go into communion.
Hallelujah. The words that song keep ringing in my mind that you read right towards the end there, that beautiful song that we sang many, 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 many years ago. You don't hear it that often anymore. But praise God about the power in the blood. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come on down and get ready to distribute these elements.
Praise the Lord. When you receive the elements, please stand. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much, Jesus. Jesus, I can't think of any other way to thank you but to follow you.
Yes, Lord.
But to follow you. To continue your work on this earth. I can't think of any other way to thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You chose us. You separated us. You selected us. You called us by name. Oh, Lord God. So thankful.
Once you receive the elements, you know, we do this customarily on the first Sunday of the month. But I want you to understand, we don't do this religiously. Okay, we don't have to do this on the first Sunday of the month. It's not written in stone someplace. In fact, maybe we'll mix it up and we'll just do it anytime and whenever. And we'll drive up Brother Mike in the back crazy. I'll call him on Sunday morning and tell him to set up communion today. Because it's not a religious act. You know, when the Lord met with his closest disciples that last night, he had purpose in what he was about to do. He could have just said, you know, whenever you guys gather, you know, think of me and what I've done for you. What the Lord was concerned about that night is that we wouldn't forget
what he has done for us, the extent to which he went to make a way for us for the forgiveness of our sins, for victory over death, for our eternal life with him. He knew the way we are. He knows the way we were created. He knows how easy it is for us to forget. How often do we forget when God has performed something in our life, so miraculous, he's answered prayer, and then something else comes up, and we kind of doubt, and we're not sure if he's going to, we forget all about what he did. Our memories are very short. And I know he had specific purpose in the way he did this that night. When he spoke about his body, the bread representing his body, and the wine representing his blood. And he said something in a certain way. He could have said it a million different ways. But he said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Now, I know he had a reason for doing that. And I know I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again because I hope you get it into you and you understand. See, he knew that we had to eat three times a day. We can't exist without eating. And I believe he said, when he said, as often as you do this, meaning every time you have a meal, every time you break bread, every time you drink, I want you to remember. That's how often he wanted us to remember. Amen. What he did for us, the extent to which he went for us. So I know, I've told you, I personally have made it my own over every meal, three times a day, sometimes four times, sometimes five times, as you can see. I not only thank him for the provision, I not only thank him for the food, I not only ask him to bless it and nourish it to my body, but I thank him for all he's done, all he's doing, and all he's going to do, and I promise to him I will never forget, I will always remember. That's why he said it that way, as often as you do this, because he knew we had to eat often. He didn't say, you know, when you guys gather on the first Sunday of the month, try to remember what I did for you. No, do it all the time, people, all the time. So what he did, as he met there with them, he held up.
The mic is off. Thank you.
I'm talking all that while, and the mic is off.
I'm sure they're
straining my voice over here. I'm saying, it doesn't sound right. Something's not right. You got to turn it on to make it work. But he took, you know, we use a little matzah, a piece of matzah here, but he took a piece of bread, and there's all kinds of symbolism as you've read and as you've studied what really took place that night. But what he was saying is that this bread, with its stripes and its Mars and its, in whatever you want to call it in there, was representative of his body, which was about to be broken for them. Now, they really did not have any understand what he was talking about. They didn't have an idea. You know, what is he talking about? He's our king. He came to be our king. What's he talking about? But he knew within a few days they'd know exactly what he was talking about. But he told them that this represents his body, which was about to be broken for them. So when we do this, we ask that you remember the extent, not just the fact that he came and was born and died for our sins and everything that goes along with that, but the manner in which he sacrificed himself, even unto the cross. We've probably all seen the movies, and probably they don't even do justice to what really, really took place. So let's receive together this morning and remember what he did for us. Amen.
Is this, thank you. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6 to about 13, I guess. And I looked, and this is the end. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, out into all the earth, sent out. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Bowls filled with incense, golden bowls, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, as such are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever."
Hallelujah.
He said, "Do this when you come together." And he was saying to eat his flesh, which the bread represented, and drink his blood, which the wine represented. And it said, in other words, take me in. My life is in these elements. My life is in the blood. Take me in, receive, and then walk a life worthy of me. Let's take the juice. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you have called us, Lord God, even to live in this hour. And Father, you are stirring up the gifts within us, Lord God, and the understanding of knowing the hour and who we are. Father, thank you for the strength that you give us. Thank you, Father, that you sent your son to be slain like a lamb. Thank you, Father, that he gave up willingly his life for us. Thank you, Father. Fill us, Lord God. Fill us, Lord God, with power. Father, may we receive more and more, an increase in our lives, more and more, God, as the day approaches. We love you, oh God. You have enabled us with everything. We have everything we need, that broken body and that blood poured out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Yes.
Amen.
Remember, if you can, come out Tuesday night, 7:30. We try to do this once a month, the first Tuesday or so of the month, 7:30 for prayer. Just 1 hour, 1 hour of prayer. Amen?
God bless you, guys.
God bless you. The cafe is open if you want to join us in there. Just sharing a cup of coffee and a little something. We love you.
Amen.
You were crucified.